بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. May Allah give us tawfiq to value the sacrifices of the greatest of people, the best of people, those chosen for the guidance of humanity. Their lives are so exemplary, every one of them. In them being mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, seniors, elders, young, in every aspect of their life, we deduce benefits, we deduce inspiration, we are inspired, enlightened, elated by just being affiliated to them. Allahu Akbar. So selfless that everything of theirs were given for humanity to be guided to the truth, for humanity to come out of destruction, impediment, for humanity to come out of waywardness, and for humanity to find the truth and the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn about a mother, Ya Allah, her speciality, a mother of seven Badri Sahaba. Seven Badri Sahaba. Imagine her children, seven sons, Allah chose them to be veterans and participants of the glorious day of Furqan, Yawmul Furqan, the day of Badr, where the Sahaba amounted 313. Seven of these lions of Allah, lions of the hereafter, true people were, and true veterans, seven of them were none other than her children. Radiallahu anha wa anhun. What a mother, what a mother. Her children are known as Banu Afra, the children of Afra, the sons of Afra. Radiallahu anha. But Allah forgive us, really we have fallen short in learning about these great people. And even in naming our children, naming our daughters after her, we don't even know how to pronounce her name correctly. How beloved is she to Allah, that taking her name with respect, Allahu Akbar, can inspire us to become better people, yes, and could become the means of our Jannah, our salvation, our children's salvation, our children's success. She is none other than Hazrat Afra radiyallahu anha. Ayn fa ra, alif and hamza. Afra radiyallahu anha. So her children were Hazrat Mu'adh, Mu'awwaz and Awf. Bani al-Harith ibn Rifa'a. Their father's name was Harith bin Rifa'a. These three children were born from her first husband, who then passed away. And then she married. She wedded a man by the name of Bukayr. Bukayr bin Abd Yalil al-Laythi. And from that wedlock, so Harith was from Medina Munawwara. And then Bukayr was from Makkah Mukarramah. She wedded Bukayr, and in that union Allah blessed her with four children. Hazrat Khalid, Iyas, Aqil and Amir radiyallahu anhum. So three of her sons were from the Ansar, and four were from the Muhajireen. They all are Banu al-Afra. Now just to get to know her sisters, Hazrat Afra radiallahu anha, her sisters from the same mother, famously Ja'da bint Ubaid radiallahu anha. Ja'da was the sister of Hazrat Afra radiallahu anha. And Hazrat Ja'da is the mother of the famous Sahabi Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu. The Sahabi was known for his loyalty and kindness and compassion towards his mother. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was in Jannah and I heard the voice and the tilawa of Haritha bin Nu'man radiyallahu anhu. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is due to his compassion, kindness and care and love for his mother radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. He was famous to actually present his properties. He was well to do. He had quite a few properties, houses in Medina Munawwara, and he would love to place his wealth in the service of Allah's deen. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina Munawwara, he resided in the home of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. But his conveyance stayed, because Hazrat Haritha also wanted the blessings. So he felt sad that he didn't have the opportunity to have and host Allah's Nabi in his home. But he kept the camel of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his home and found barakat in that. And even when Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha wanted to move near Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his house was right next to the house of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He offered that Hazrat Fatima lived right next to Allah's beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his home, and he would move away into Fatima radiyallahu anha's home. This is the kindness of Hazrat Haritha bin Nu'man. And he insisted when Allah's Nabi refused, and he said, "O Nabi of Allah, it's all yours," sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Afra radiyallahu anha's other sister was Khawla bint Ubaid radiyallahu anha, and her son was famously Muawiyah bin Samit Khazraji. And Hazrat Khawla also embraced Islam and took bay'ah at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these three sisters were known as very, very virtuous mothers that achieved greatly in Allah's pleasure and nurtured great men to serve Allah's deen. And this is what it is, respected lovers of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. We learn from the Sahabiyat that they train their children to please Allah, to uplift Allah's name, to take Allah's name, to spread and disseminate Allah's kalam and Allah's words, and to give their life for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Back to her children. So her children, Mu'adh bin Afra and Mu'awwadh, they were actually amongst the 73 Sahaba. Auf, Mu'adh and Mu'awwadh were amongst the 73 Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. They were amongst the 73 Sahaba radiyallahu anhum who met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just before the Hijrah, the 13th year of the Hijjah. They came to meet Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed her son Mu'adh bin Afra was among the first of the Ansar to embrace Islam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat them in the ta'aleem and taught him Surah Yusuf and Surah Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So it was himself and Hazrat Rafi' bin Malik Najjari radiyallahu anhum. So historians mention that among the first of the Khazraj to embrace Islam was Hazrat Mu'adh bin Afra radiyallahu anhum, as well as his brothers Auf and Mu'awwadh were also among the early, but Hazrat Mu'adh was among the earliest radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And her children who were Muhajirin, Iyas, Khalid, Bukair, Amir, were among the first to take bay'ah at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Meccan stage. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam established the madrasa in Darul Arqam, the first to take bay'ah at his hands were these four young men, Hazrat Khalid, Iyas, Aqil, Amir. It's reported that Aqil's name was Ghafil, and Ghafil means someone who's slower and negligent. Allah's Nabi changed his name because the importance of having a good meaning, a suitable meaning, an encouraging meaning in one's name. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named him Aqil radiyallahu anhum. Something else interesting about these brothers was the fact that when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina Munawwara, he left Makkah Mukarrama on the first of Rabi'ul Awwal. It was a Monday. He traveled the entire week. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's arrival in Medina Munawwara was first in Quba, and that was on a Monday. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resided in Quba by the home of Hazrat Kulthum bin Hidim radiyallahu anhu. Hazrat Kulthum bin Hidim radiyallahu anhu's home is still available in Medina Munawwara for viewing the farm he had and so forth. Allah blessed his lands because of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's residence there. He embraced Islam just before Allah's Nabi's arrival in Medina Munawwara. He was very elderly, of very advanced age. But he was so fortunate that Allah's Nabi chose him to stay with for 4 days. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed there. There's an interesting incident that happened whilst they were there, where Hazrat Kulthum, elderly, he was calling his slave Najih, "Ya Najih." And Allah's Nabi said to Abu Bakr, "See, anjahta ya Abu Bakrin, you have triumphed and succeeded," meaning Allah has granted you success. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took positivity in everything. As Muslims, we learn never to be negative people. Never be people who are looking for evil omens and bad omens. A person is going somewhere, he sees an owl or sees a cat or sees something. No, as Muslims, we take Allah's help and we remain positive and we carry on. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was departing from Makkah Mukarrama. He was emotional because at one point he saw the Kaaba and he yearned. Oh, he was actually at one road leading to Makkah and he cried and missed Makkah. And he said, "Oh Makkah, you are so beloved to me. You are so beloved to me. And if it wasn't for this that we are forced to leave you, we would not have gone anywhere else." So we learn from there. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to leave Makkah Mukarramah even though it was so beloved to him. And yes, Allah Ta'ala returned him to Makkah Mukarramah and granted Makkah Mukarramah to his beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But see the sacrifice. Our ulama say that Makkah Mukarramah could be sacrificed at that time, but iman can never be forsaken, and da'wat to iman can never be forsaken. At that time also Allah's Nabi made this dua, وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ الصِّدْقِ. Oh Allah, give us a pure, sincere, wonderful entry into Medina. وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ الصِّدْقِ. And take us out from here nicely. So Allah's Nabi was looking forward always. He first made dua regarding his entry into Medina, and then the dua also mentioned his exit from Makkah Mukarramah. So as believers, we never become bogged or never look back and never stop making effort and always remain positive. It's reported that not far from Hazrat Kulthum radiallahu anhu's home was Hazrat Sa'd bin Khaysama radiallahu anhu's home. Very interesting sahabi radiallahu anhu. When it came to Uhud, it was Hazrat Sa'd and Khaysama who were arguing, father and son were arguing who's going to participate, because one had to participate and the other had to take care of the entire family. And both, father is saying, son, you have to listen to me and allow me the opportunity to go. And the son is saying, you know, I'll prefer you in regards everything, father, except in regards to Jannah. This is Jannah, this is striving in Allah's way with Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will not prefer you in this regard. They casted lots. Allah blessed the son with acceptance and he went in Allah Ta'ala's way. Anyway, so Hazrat Sa'd bin Khaythama radiallahu anhu was the host of the other Sahaba arriving at the same time. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lectures would be held at Hazrat Sa'd bin Khaythama radiallahu anhu's home during those days of Quba. So the 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, those 4 days from the 8th right till the 12th, which was the Friday when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from there and entered the home of Hazrat and entered Medina Munawwara. As Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was entering Medina Munawwara, Allahu Akbar, what a khutbah he rendered. What a khutbah he rendered, subhanallah. Let's analyze these words of his khutbah. One is the khutbah of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his first khutbah on the mountain Safa in Makkah Mukarramah. That khutbah is also very interesting. The advisors there, when Allah's Nabi announced, Ya Sabaha. And this was a famous slogan or announcement that was made during the Meccan stage by the Arabs when they would announce regarding something very, very important. What it literally means is, oh, there's something happening by morning. But what this means in Arabic rhetoric and balagha, Arabic eloquence, this means is something very, very important has to be mentioned to you. It's as important as an army arriving by morning. So it means very, very important information. This was the Meccan slogan. So when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed on the mountain, he utilized the same words that was used by the Meccan people to gather everyone. What they would also do is, if some important information was so important, they would actually strip themselves naked to draw full and complete attention and then call these words, Ya Sabaha, and then make their announcements. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just said, Ya Sabaha, and he never removed his clothes. So what we learn from here, what others do, we cannot do. Unless what is done is allowed in Sharia, like Ya Sabaha is not contrary to Sharia. So what is halal as a means of inviting to Allah, we can use. But what is haram is impermissible for us to use. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to everyone after they had gathered that you can see me from the top of the mountain and I can see both sides. I can see ahead of me and I can see behind me because I am in the top of the mountain. They said yes. So Allah's Nabi said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them that you cannot see this side of the mountain, but if I were to notify you that on this side there's an army charging towards you to eradicate you, would you believe me? They said, you are the most trustworthy, the most honest. Obviously we'll believe you. Allah's Nabi then said, in the same way, like how warned and how cautioned would you be when an army were to arrive to eradicate and attack you, in the same way there's an afterlife, the hereafter, that is coming rapidly, that is coming stealthily, that is coming swiftly, and I implore you all to prepare for this afterlife. And then Allah's Nabi mentioned these words, kama tahyawna tamutun, like you live this world, that's exactly how you are going to die. Wa kama tamutuna tub'athun, as you live, that's how you will die. And as you die, that's how you will be resurrected. Allahu Akbar. To analyze these words in simple terms, the hadith is actually saying that Allah is so merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's even allowing us to choose the way we want to die. As you live,
what you do every day, what drives you, what's your goal, what's your purpose. Allah will make it that the day you leave this world, you would be occupied and involved in the same thing. Meaning, somebody who leaves this world reciting the Quran Kareem, or performing his salah, or inviting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or striving in Allah's way, or in his ihram for hajj, or performing tawaf, or doing some charitable work, or helping humanity. It's not that he just did this out of the blue. But this was his way of life. This is what drove him. This is what inspired him and her. My respected listeners, let us choose the way we want to die. Let us live every day as though it's the last day of this worldly life. Like a pious scholar, Abdurrahman bin Abi Nu'min, when they came to him to ask him, because a group of scholars went to different scholars and pious people to ask them, what would you do if you knew that this was the last day of your life in this transitory world and tomorrow you were definitely departing? How would you spend your day? Some said, I would spend my day circulating and circumambulating the Kaaba Sharif. Others said, I would be in the tilawa of the Quran the entire day. Others said, I would be disseminating the knowledge of Allah's deen. Imagine, the scholar said, I would do what I do every day. When asked, what do you mean? Elaborate, please. He said, I spend every day already as though it's the last day of my life. And this is what we are supposed to do. Allah save us, Allah forgive us. We do not want to leave this world in the dens of vice, in pubs, in clubs, spending time with illicit relations, spending time in defiance and disobedience of Allah. How then would be our outcome and end result? Allah's mercy, Allah's mercy, we can choose the way we want to go. Let's do that every day. Let's please our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that must be our goal and purpose and objective, that our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be happy. That's why Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhum, leaving this world, when his wife cried incessantly, he says, why do you cry? Just be happy with me, for me. She asked, how? He said that I'm now going to go to my loved ones. Al-yawma alqa al-ahibba Muhammadan wa hizba. Today is the day I will meet my beloveds, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum. After this khutbah in Medina Munawwara, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued. Banu Salim bin Auf was where the khutbah took place. They continue sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he arrives in Medina Munawwara. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Everyone was grabbing the reins of the camel of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as they were grabbing it, O Nabi of Allah, by us, O Nabi of Allah, by us, O Nabi of Allah, our life will be sacrificed for you. O Nabi of Allah, may our parents be sacrificed for you. O Nabi of Allah, come by us, come by us. And as they were grabbing the reins, Allah's beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, please leave the reins. He saw everyone wanted this honor and wanted this good deed of welcoming and hosting the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine such a pleasure, such a ni'mah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. My respected lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we must also want to welcome guests in our home, the beloveds of Allah in our home, the deen into our home. Yes, bring deen in our home. That's the greatest guest we can ever have. And bring needy people, poor people, and feed them. Good people, pious people, and every person we must feed for Allah, help for Allah, serve for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, sometimes we have some challenge with our families and so forth. Discuss it together, encourage each other. And if there's still some difficulty, make some other arrangements for the guests of Allah Ta'ala. But really, hospitality is dying out in this ummah. It's coming out of the lives. That when we see new people, we run, Allahu Akbar, as though we saw Malakul Maut coming. That as though some pocket, something from our pocket will be diminished. Or as though our time will be wasted, Allah forgive us. We haven't understood the mizaj of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Life has become very, very selfish. These beautiful morals and qualities have to be brought alive in us again, to love people, be kind to people, share with people, help people, assist people, leave a legacy in this world. Because that is everlasting, is baqi, is everlasting. Everything else will perish. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, leave the reins, Allah will choose. Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't want anybody's heart to be hurt, and everyone stood aside, hoping, praying, begging Allah to give them this opportunity. Allah loves that talab, that desire to be accepted for Allah's deen, to be used for Allah's deen. And as the camel carried on, as it would pass a family. Imagine this scene on entry into Medina Munawwara, Sahaba on each side, and as the camel would come near, they would be hoping that Allah's Nabi's camel would halt before their property and home. And as the camel would depart from or pass them, they would feel sad for themselves, but feel happy for the next person, that let's see who's the lucky one, who will receive something so special, so special. Wallah, the lottery is nothing, because it is haram. There's no value in it. Whatever is earned through haram will be spent in something despicable, will be wasted. Any haram wealth doesn't last. There's no barakat in it. Easy come, easy go. But that little that has barakat is valuable, is everlasting. Duqayn rahimahullah says, when I met Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, and he said he'll do me a favor, he'll help me, he called me closer. He told me, I said to you, I'll help you when I was in Medina Munawwara, I was the governor. Now Allah made me the Khalifa. And the truth is, I have nothing. Imagine he's the Khalifa, the ruler of the Muslim world. Analyze his life. He says, all I have is 1,000 dirham. But what I'll do, half of that, I gift it to you. He gives him 500 dirhams. He says, as far as value, it seems little, but there was so much of barakat in that 500 dirhams from Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah. And the camel departs, and it moves forward until it reaches, Allahu Akbar, the property of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The camel kneels down and halts, sitting on the property. It was an empty property. It was a land used to dry dates and raisins. The camel halted there. Masjid. Masjid to masjid. The life of a believer is masjid. Allah enable us all to return to masjid. Then the camel gets up and comes right in front of the home of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. Yes, Hazrat Khalid bin Zayd bin Kulayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What a great sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. How Allah chose him, and his dua was always to be hospitable, to host Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What khidmah he made of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Interestingly, meals were presented to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after some time as they arrived and so forth. As Haritha bin Nu'man took the conveyance of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the first sahabi, this is something interesting to learn, the first sahabi to present meals to Allah's beloved, and then meals came from everywhere, was none other than Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. He was an orphan child, but his mother prepared meals, and he rushed to present it to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Nabi partook sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The arrival of the camel and its halting on the Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After some time, Allah's beloved found out. He found out information as to whose property is this. Subhanallah, whose property was it? It was the property belonging to two orphan young men, orphan children, none other than Hazrat Sahal and Suhail radiallahu anhuma. Sahal and Suhail, the sons of Rafi' radiallahu anhuma, two great sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were young men, they owned that property. And interestingly, these orphan children were under the care and supervision of two sahaba. One is our hero here, and our hero's son, Hazrat Mu'adh bin Afra. He was caring for these orphan children. The other being Hazrat As'ad bin Zurara radiallahu anhu, who passed away during this time. He passed away in the early Medinan stage. The first of the sahaba to pass away from the sahaba of Medina Munawwara, the Ansar, was Hazrat As'ad bin Zurara radiallahu anhu. And the first of the muhajirin to pass away in Medina Munawwara was Hazrat Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu. Anyway, they were in the care of Hazrat Mu'adh bin Afra. Allahu Akbar. What a quality to care for children who are orphaned. Allahu Akbar. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ بَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The best home of the believers is that home wherein فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُحْسَنُ إِلَيْهِ, where orphan child is being cared for and loved and respected and treated with compassion and mercy. And Allah's beloved said, the worst of homes of the believers is that wherein a yateem is being ill-treated. Allah says, يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمُ دَعَ يَدُعُ. He pushes the orphan around. Anything he got, just sends the orphan. Pushes him this way, pushes him that way. He got no father, nobody to care for him. Allah, forgive us. That is the child we have to show love for, more love for. There was one alim in Medina Munawwara, Allahu Akbar, years ago, when, because every 5 years, when the graves, the graveyard obviously is less, so every 5 years they have to exhume the graves and push aside the bones and bury another deceased, another janaza. But after 5 years, when they exhume and excavate and they find a body intact, they actually close the grave again. And it happened that this alim, 3 years consecutively, meaning after 5 years and 10 years and 15 years, his body was totally intact. And his son saw this, so they didn't seal the grave and never opened it again. After 15 years also, the body was totally intact. When they asked his children, how come? What happened? What blessed your father with this quality? He says, nothing special. What could it be? And when he analyzed, he says he would care for the orphan children to such an extent that he said to his own children, don't call me father or abi, because when we are dealing with the orphans, they'll feel bad that we don't have abi and father. Call me Molana. Like all the children call me Molana, y'all also call me Molana. And he treated the orphan children even better than his own. So Hazrat Mu'adh bin Afra was caring for these children, Sahal and Suhail, radiallahu anhumah. These young men were insisting, O Nabi of Allah, accept our property for the structure of Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar, Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused. Allah's Nabi says, no, we'll never take this property for free. We'll have to pay for it. Even though they wanted to contribute it, but wisdom, Allahu Akbar, to teach the Ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first khutbah Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave in Medina Munawwara was in Banu Salim bin Auf. And there Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf says, Allah's Nabi presented these words, O humanity, قَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ, invest for the hereafter, send forth for the hereafter. تَعْلَمُونَ وَاللَّهِ, certainly you know that when a person passes away, he'll leave his flock, he'll leave everything without anything or anyone to care for it. Then his Allah will speak to him and address him without any chamberlain, without any translator. And Allah will say to him, that didn't my Nabi come to you? Didn't the reminders come to you to convey you the message of deen? And didn't I bless you with wealth? What did you invest for the hereafter? Allahu Akbar. So we learn from here that we will be asked, what did we invest of our time, of our wealth, of our prestige, of our status, of our position, all of these gifts of Allah Ta'ala, did we realize the objective of these gifts, that it should be utilized for Allah's deen, and that is the goal and that is the purpose. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, these were his first words, reminding one and all about death, because the time of death is totally unpredictable. When it'll come, how it'll come, only Allah Ta'ala knows. On the Friday morning, in the Fajr prayer, Imam Sahib reads Alif Lam Mim Sajda, and this chapter details death and Malakul Maut coming to extract one's ruh. So Allah's Nabi reminded us that this is something that we should be conscientized of all the time. Every day we have to remember the hereafter and the afterlife and the fact that we're going to pass away. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded us of this in Makkah Mukarramah as well as Medina Munawwara. Something else interesting. The first Sahabi to teach the Ummah about the Jumu'ah prayers in Medina Munawwara. This was before the arrival of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara. These Sahaba were none other than Hazrat Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu and Hazrat As'ad bin Zurara radiallahu anhuma. And in this khutbah as well, as Allah's Nabi reminds us of about death, Allah's Nabi also says that love Allah and love those who love Allah and love Allah with your full heart, min kulli qulubikum, from the bottom of the heart, love Allah Ta'ala and never become tired or never give up in learning kalamullah and participating in dhikrullah. Never let your heart become hardened from the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah's Nabi says, Allah selects, Allah chooses who He wants. And the hadith carries on, you can study the first khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara. But at this point, Allah Ta'ala is the one that chooses. We have to ask Allah Ta'ala to choose us for His deen and select us for the effort of His deen and with the service of His deen. Allah Ta'ala chose Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, and Allah must choose us also to be the humble servants of His deen. We learn from here, Allah Ta'ala doesn't need us, we need Allah Ta'ala. Deen is pure and pristine and perfect. Pure. Allah has preserved His deen. But Allah Ta'ala, we must ask Allah Ta'ala to use us for his deen. Because we are the ones in need. And it is the karam and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala that those that have talab and the desire to serve Allah's deen and strive for Allah Ta'ala's deen, Allah Ta'ala chooses them. Allah give us tawfiq. So this was Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's first khutbah in Medina Munawwara. So we learn from here. Let's prepare for this day. As Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrived, the first effort was the construction of Masjid al-Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Masjid al-Nabawi was built, and the property was belonging to these two youngsters, Sahal and Suhail, and they were in the care of number one, Hazrat As'ad bin Zurara radiallahu anhu, and the son of Afra radiallahu anha. They were caring for these orphan children. Allah give us tawfiq to love the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love the orphan children, and show care to the ummah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As life in Medina Munawwara carried on, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established brotherhood amongst Sahaba, amongst the Muslims. Unity, brotherhood. And then came the famous Battle of Badr. Now in this expedition, imagine Allah Ta'ala chose the children of Afra radiallahu anha to be veterans of Badr, to be participants of Badr. They participated, all her sons. Her four sons who were muhajireen, Hazrat Khalid, Iyas, Aqil, Amir, and her three sons who were from the Ansar, Allahu Akbar, they all, Hazrat Mu'adh, Mu'awwadh, and Auf, some pronunciations say Aun, and the preferred view is Auf, radiyallahu anhum, all of them were veterans of Badr. As they traveled towards Badr, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam analyzed his Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Those who were too young were sent back. But those who were of age, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed them to participate. And amongst them was the children of Hazrat Afra radiyallahu anha. Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu says, in the lines of Badr, I was hoping to have strong people next to me so that I could actually have support. When you're facing difficulty, the people next to you will help you and defend you. He says, I looked right, I looked left. I was actually disappointed because these are younger people. They would have been in their 20s, 18, 20s. But one of them turns to me and he says to me, Uncle, Uncle, do you know Abu Jahl? So I said to him, Son, oh my nephew, what you going to do with Abu Jahl? That's the most defended person from the mushrikeen. He is their senior. He is guarded by all sides. No, I heard the way he harmed my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way he caused and inflicted harm to the Muslims. I will fight him in this battle, and either he or I will live. As Abdul Rahman says, what shocked me was he spoke very, very softly. He didn't want his brother on the other side to actually know what was his objectives, because they both were vying with one another to defend the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Then the other brother calls me. He says, Uncle, Uncle. And he says the exact same thing. Then I realized how wonderful, how fortunate I am to be next to people who are young, but so vibrant for the deen of Allah, so caring and worrying for the protection of the deen of Allah Ta'ala and the protection of the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let's remember, Badr was a very difficult battle. Muslims numbered 313. One report says 317, 18. Why the difference in view is there were five young men who wanted to participate, but Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent them back because of their tender age. Subhanallah. Sahaba radiallahu anhum had this fervor to strive for Allah, to sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Abu Lubaba bin Abdul Munzir also back to actually take care of matters in Medina Munawwara. One Sahabi and his father, Hazrat Hudhaifa bin Yaman, were told not to participate. Why? This is the beauty of Islam. One fulfills his promise and his word. These Sahaba were captured in Makkah because by the Mushrikeen army, and they were released on the pretext that they will not participate. Abu Jahl captured them and then said to them, I know you're going to help Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam against us. They didn't know at that time about Badr. They said, no, we're not. And then they were released. When they asked Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do we do? Because they wanted to participate as well. Allah's Nabi asked about the incident. They said, O Nabi of Allah, we told Abu Jahl that this is the case. But yes, we should participate. Allah's Nabi said, Nafi bi ahdihim. We must fulfill our promises. You all said you all will not participate. So in that case, do not participate. Imagine a promise that was made to Abu Jahl, who was against Islam, who was coming to destroy Islam. But here Allah's Nabi, in times where Muslims needed the numbers, but says to Hazrat Hudhayfa and his father Yaman and Hisl. Hisl was his name, Yaman was his title. Allah's Nabi says, no, we are people of our word. We are loyal. People of integrity and loyalty. And Allah Ta'ala will assist us. Anyway, Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf in the battle is explaining these young men around him. Now obviously, remember, imagine the scene. Abu Jahl would be well guarded. A lot of the mushrikeen would be surrounding him. In the report, he would have been in a thicket of weapons around him, because there were swords and men strongly surrounding him, because he was the leader of the mushrikeen. He was their commander. And it would have been most difficult to reach him. And now, finally, after some time, Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf spots Abu Jahl. And he says to these Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, here's your goal and your target. This is what you all wanted. And they dart towards Abu Jahl. And they both pounce upon him, not worried about the repercussion, not worried about whatever happens to them. They barge into that line of guards around Abu Jahl. Imagine their zeal and their fervor for Allah's deen. This is the battlefield. This is on the battlefield. Now interestingly, generally in the reports we find there were two of them. But studying all the reports carefully, there were three young men. Two were the sons of Hazrat Afra radiallahu anha, namely Mu'adh and Mu'awwaz. Mu'awwaz can be pronounced Mu'awwaz with a fatha on the waw and a kasra on the waw. Mu'awwiz. And the two meanings would mean one seeking Allah's protection, Mu'awwiz. One who has sought, or one who has received Allah Ta'ala's protection, or under Allah Ta'ala's protection, Mu'awwaz. Mu'az means a great sahaba radiallahu anhu, were named by this name, someone who has taken resort from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in his protection. So very similar meanings. The third sahabi in this entire scene, his name is Mu'adh as well. Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh. Now, when we put the different reports together in the seerah, in the life and the studies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sahaba radiallahu anhum's beautiful life, we find the first blow that was struck onto Abu Jahl was that of Hazrat Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh. Then the second brother went for him. But because the first blow was very difficult, Hazrat Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh was badly wounded. His hand was severed. Then the second person went for him, Mu'awwaz bin Afra. And whilst trying to defeat Abu Jahl, he managed to inflict fatal wounds on Abu Jahl, and Abu Jahl was badly wounded then. So second was Mu'adh bin Afra. Then third, Hazrat Mu'awwaz went for him and gave him such a fatal blow that he fell totally on the ground. He was totally wounded, but he had still life in him. Wabihi ramaq. So these three Sahaba radiallahu anhum actually grounded Abu Jahl, and he was totally put on the ground. And then the battle carried on after some time. But yes, they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both trying to vie with each other, and then also their friend Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, both of y'all and all of y'all. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the both of them, because Mu'awwaz bin Afra actually became shaheed in that battle. So to recap what happened here was, there were three young men, Mu'adh bin Afra, Mu'awwaz bin Afra, these two brothers, and their friend Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anhum. Towards the end of the battle, Hazrat Mu'awwaz became shaheed in that bout. He became shaheed, he passed away. Hazrat Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh lost his limb. As he was fighting, his shoulder was totally dislocated. It was severed completely. It was hanging on flesh. And he says, the Sahabi says, I continued during the battle, fighting for Allah Ta'ala's sake, fighting in Allah Ta'ala's way, until he realized, فَتَعَلَّقَتْ بِجِلْدَةٍ مِّنْ جَنْبِي وَأَجْهَضَنِي عَنِ الْقِتَالِ وَأَجْهَضَنِي الْقِتَالُ عَنْهُ. What happened was, this limb had become a hindrance during the battle. And he had realized that this becoming a hindrance, he has to remove whatever stops him from striving for Allah Ta'ala. He places his limb under his foot and he pulls, severing his hand completely. And he placed it one side and he carried on fighting in Allah Ta'ala's way till the end of the battle. But what happened here was, Hazrat Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh didn't pass away that day. And his friend Mu'adh bin Afra didn't pass away as well. There's an interesting report mentioned by Qadi Iyad in his Shifa, that when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later on saw what had happened to Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "Where's your limb? Do you know where's it?" He went and allocated it and brought it to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just replaced his limb back into its position, and it was totally cured. And this Sahabi lived for long after that, Hazrat Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh, till during the Khilafah of Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Just to learn a bit about this Sahabi, Hazrat Mu'adh bin Amr, his father being Amr bin Jamuh. Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anhu was one of the Ansar of Medina Munawwara from the Banu Salima tribe. Historically, during Hazrat Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu's efforts in Medina Munawwara, Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh used to fervently worship his idol. His idol's name was Manat. But his children and their mother, she's known as Ummu Mu'adh, her name was Hind Ummu Mu'adh. So his children worried for the hidayat of their father. So her children with Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh were namely Khalad, Mu'awwaz, Mu'adh and Abdul Rahman. And they had a friend, Mu'adh bin Jabal. Anyway, these children with their mother were worried, how can their father get hidayat? They used to attend the discourses and the teachings of Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu. And whatever they learned, they would bring home and teach their mother. And she totally supported them. Her name was Hind binti Amr ibn al-Haram radiallahu anha.